Good morning, Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church. I want to thank you for inviting me to be here with you this morning. It is such a joy, and I am very grateful. I worked at UNM Hospital for 8 years as a chaplain. Every year as Ash Wednesday approached, I braced myself for an extraordinarily busy day. It seems that as people were face to face with very real life and death matters, they found comfort in being reminded of our mortality through the act of the imposition of ashes. As I marked ashes on the foreheads of people from every walk of life, I turned to the words of the poet and artist Jan Richardson. Do you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? Dust is defined in the dictionary as fine, dry powder consisting of tiny particles of earth or waste matter lying on the ground or surfaces or carried in the air. As someone who works full time and is married to someone who works full time and has 2 children and 2 dogs, our house is often filled with waste matter lying on the ground. And no matter how hard we sometimes try, it never seems to work. 10 minutes later, it's back to what it was. And I keep waiting for the Holy One to do something with it. But at the end of the night, the crumbs from our meal still fall to the floor, waiting for a miracle. And the miracle that comes is often in the form of 2 very happy dogs who have been praying at our side for the whole meal. In today's gospel reading, we come face to face with a very powerful scene in that first half, which frankly includes Jesus being kind of a jerk, a very bold woman, don't mess with a mother, and crumbs, which apparently have been keeping homes dirty since the start of time. But it's important to have some context into these images, especially the crumbs and the unnamed woman. First of all, we can look at the fact that she, with a number of women in Scripture, are not given even a name. We only know her as the Syrophoenician woman. During the time of which the Bible was written and compiled into this holy book we have today, women were not regarded as full citizens. They were actually really considered more as property, and they had no power for the most part. Second of all, Jesus has traveled into Gentile territory here. Gentiles also were not considered as full citizens. They were seen as lowly, less than. So when Jesus refers to her in a sideways way as a dog, this is what he means. He was equating her as a female Gentile with a dog, something that Jewish people at the time saw as filthy scavengers. So yeah, Jesus was frankly being kind of a jerk here. Lots of scholars have pointed to the fact that Jesus is not only fully God, but he's also fully human, and we know what we're like. Reverend Debbie Thomas reflects on this passage. After all, Jesus has just been mocked and rejected by his own townspeople. For days without respite, he has fed the multitudes, healed the sick, liberated the demon-possessed, and confronted the Pharisees, all while putting up with his perpetually clueless disciples. For any number of reasons, Jesus just needed a break. But he clearly did not get that break. I think Jesus, in his humanity here, forgot just how far a mother will go for her children. I mean, look at his own mother, Mary. She was a teenager when the angel approached her. A teenager. But she welcomed his presence into her life. And later, when Jesus would be betrayed by Judas, when Peter would deny even having ever known him, his mother would be one of the few to remain present as her son died on a cross. So really, it shouldn't surprise Jesus or any of us that this mother, an outsider in every possible regard, would risk turning up to beg Jesus, known as a healer and a boundary breaker, to heal her beloved daughter. A mother's love is one of the bravest things I have ever known. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter, and he said, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Just a few verses later, Jesus will put his fingers in the ear of a deaf man and say, "Be opened." But here it is the outsider who opens Jesus. Here is the woman who reminds him of what he can do with crumbs. Jan Richardson, the same brilliant poet who coined the line, "Do you not know what the Holy One can do with dust?" has also written a poem about our outsider, the unnamed mother. In it, she imagines the woman saying to Jesus, "Don't tell me no. I have seen you feed the thousands. I have seen miracles spill from your hands like water, like wine. I have seen you with circles of crowds pressed around you and not one soul turned away. I am saying, I know what you, Jesus, can do with crumbs, and I am claiming mine, every morsel and scrap you have up your sleeve." I love what scholar Todd Weir says about this moment between Jesus and this mother. He says, "This is the only place I can find in the Gospels where someone won a theological argument with Jesus. He tied the wisest biblical scholars in knots, but not this mother." It's like this outsider is reminding Jesus, "Do you not know what you, the Holy One, can do with crumbs?" To his credit, Jesus' ears are open and he hears her. "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and she found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. He was, as far as we can tell, not angry at her for challenging him. And I also don't believe she was trying to be rude. She was a mother who desperately loves her child and found enormous courage as a Gentile woman to approach a Jewish man without permission. I admire her strength. I aspire to be more like her as a mother, as a person. The power and the deepest love to turn to the healer, the Son of God, and perhaps one of his most exhausted and vulnerable moments, and say, "Do you not know what you, the Holy One, can do with crumbs?" If not for her desperate mother's love, and if not for Jesus' ears being open to hear her, her daughter would have continued to suffer unimaginably. I wonder, who are the outsiders who speak today? Who deserves to be heard? Who challenges us to remember what the Holy One can do with crumbs, and whose lives are risked when we don't stop to listen? A few days ago, there was another school shooting, the 45th of the year. A 14-year-old boy killed 4 people and injured 9 others with an assault-style rifle given to him by his father. In the year prior, he is said to have written posts on social media that were both anti-Semitic and anti-queer. And he stated that those views were part of the reason he planned on a future massacre, because he wanted to fix things. I wonder how we as a society failed this boy and whatever pain he was carrying inside of himself, how we failed our children at school. I wonder how many people suffer because of the hatred that brews in our world. I wonder how much joy and possibility we are missing out on because the hatred that sometimes exists for others literally ends up taking their lives. I wonder. I know that is a very large scale example. But I also imagine that in each of our lives, there are those who are considered outsiders. Those who we want to dismiss as Jesus initially did with this mother. The person who has different political views, different religious beliefs. Maybe the unhoused person we pass on the street holding up a sign asking for help. The sullen teenager, the hurting child, that one annoying person in class or at work who drives us batty. Who are the outsiders in our lives that if we stop to listen, we might just hear the deepest love and most profound courage? I believe there is a reason we get the story of this unnamed woman first in today's gospel reading. Her incredible response to him seems to jolt Jesus awake, and he is opened. Reverend Thomas, who I referred to earlier, says this: "The Syrophoenician woman's faith and persistence teach Jesus that God's purpose for him is even bigger than he had imagined, and that there is enough of him to go around." When the crowd later would bring Jesus, the deaf man with the speech impediment, Jesus put his fingers right in his ears, and then he spits and touches his tongue. It's a very physical image. He's using his very own body to heal this man. And he looks to the heavens and says, "Be opened." And he was. I wonder what would happen if we allowed ourselves to be opened by the Holy One. What he could make from the crumbs of our lives. How much more clearly we could see the beauty that exists in the diversity of this world. How much better we could hear and share in one another's joys and sorrows. How many lives might be saved? Jan Richardson closes her blessing about this unnamed mother. "Let the scraps fall like manna, like mercy, for the life of my child, for the life of the world. Don't you tell me no." Amen.